God loves to make covenants with his people. And there are actually many covenants in the Word of God. Most of us know about the old covenants, and we've heard about the new covenants. But apart from the old covenants from which we talk about the Old Testament, or the new covenant from which we talk about the New Testament in the Bible, does anybody know of any other covenants that God has made with people in the Word of God, in the Bible? Anyone? Sister Buki?
His covenant with Abraham,
His
that through
covenant.
his seed, the nations shall be
All the
blessed.
nations will be blessed. Very good, Brother Osman. Very good. The song that we just had, yeah, give it to him. What did you say? The song that we just had, I Will Be With You, the background of that of the video, what did we see there?
Rainbow.
A rainbow. Do we know that that is a covenant? The covenant that God made with man, that I will not destroy the world with a flood any longer. Thank you. And do we know how men have wanted to spit in the face of God with this same rainbow? Eh? We know what America, what the Western world has tried to turn the rainbow into. The rainbow that's supposed to be a covenant that God made. I will not do this any longer for man. They've now turned it into something else. Okay? Anybody else? Covenants. And we sing that song. Well, covenants keeping God. There is no one like you. Alpha Omega. There is no one. Okay, so we've only talked about three covenants, though. Yes, Sister Jero.
I read on Psalm 89, and
Yes.
in that Psalm 89, it was saying, God was telling David, he said, I have sworn that my covenant that will bless your seed.
That's true.
Even when your generation sins,
Yes.
I will remember
Yes.
that covenant.
Thank you very much. There's a Davidic covenant. And it's through the Davidic covenant that there will be everybody that will be on the throne of David will be an offspring of David in perpetuity. There's the Davidic covenant. God loves to make covenants. But what is a covenant? It's an agreement between God. Thank you very much, Brother Ken. What I'm going to teach us today is something that is very simple but very deep. And I want us to listen very well. A covenant is an agreement between God and man. Sister Buki told us about the Abrahamic covenant, one of the first covenants we learned about in the Bible, where God made a covenant with Abraham that I will, out of your loins, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Okay? So let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 12 for us to learn a little bit about these covenants. Genesis is the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 12, and I'll read from verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, his name was Abram before God changed his name to Abraham. Okay? Now the Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country, from your people or from your kindred, and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And anybody that blesses you, I will bless. Anybody that curses you, I will curse. And in all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. That was the first covenant that God made with Abraham. All right. So Abraham departed and did everything that God had said. Let's now open to Genesis 15. So Abraham had gone out of his father's house. Time had passed. I think at this point, about 20 years had passed, because Abraham had gone with his nephew called Lot. They had acquired places. They had built tents. They had moved from one place to another. Lot had gone to, because they had so much, God had blessed them with so much, Lot and Abraham separated. Lot went to a place towards somewhere called Sodom. Do we remember the place called Sodom? And Abraham, he took the other path. Eventually, after time, Lot's, some Fulani herdsmen, they came, they bundled Lot and his people, not Fulani herdsmen, but some other herdsmen. They captured Lot, they took him away. Abraham came to rescue Lot. And after time and all this happened, we get to chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I don't have a child and no heir? And the heir, the person who will inherit everything in my house, is this Eleazar of Damascus." Eleazar was his servant. And Abraham said, "Behold, to me," let me read from ESV or NLT. I don't want to discombobulate us with KJV.
From which verse?
From verse 3.
"You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No. Your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have." And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith.
Okay, can you stop there for a second? So at this point, Abram did not have any children. What was God's promise to Abraham that we read of in chapter 12? Anybody remembers? We just read it. "I'll make you a great nation. I'll make your name great. Out of what? Your loins, that is, out of your own children, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." Did this man have any children? No. So a rational person would think, "God, you said that out of my own loins, out of my own body, out of me and my wife, the children born of us, out of those children, all the earth will be blessed. And here I am, I have no children." God came again. What would be the logical question? "God, you said you will do this. I haven't seen any children yet, oh. And not only that, time is going, because the normal cycle of my wife, it will soon stop. And after it stops, what will happen? Children will not be able to come again. So, God, this promise, is it going to happen? Is it true?" Okay. Please go on from verse 7.
"Then the Lord told him, 'I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession.' But Abraham replied, 'O sovereign Lord, how can I be sure I will actually possess it?'"
How can I be sure? Okay.
"The Lord told him, 'Bring me a 3-year-old heifer.
One.
A 3-year-old female goat.
Two.
A 3-year-old ram.
Three.
A turtle dove.
Four.
And a young pigeon."
Five things.
"So Abram presented all these to him and killed them.
Then he cut each animal down in the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, "You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end, they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations, your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction." After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses.
You can stop there. Thank you. So let me give you what is happening, because this was a custom of the people back then. Now, if two people were going to make a covenant between themselves, they will bring, and the way they did covenants has changed over time, okay? They will bring an animal. They will cut that animal into two, okay? They will lay one half of the animal here on one side and the other half of the animal on the other side. And the two people in the covenant will now walk between the halves, the two halves. And they will say, they will repeat the covenants they're making with each other. As we are making this covenant with each other, whether it is a covenant of we will protect one another, or it is a covenant of our children will marry one another, whatever the covenant they are making with each other, they will recite that covenant as they're walking through the halves and know that if any of us breaks this covenant, as it is with these animals that we have cut into pieces, so shall it be with us if we break the covenant. Over time, people who now made covenants, they went from slaughtering an animal and laying it in medieval England, they will take a cup. They will take some of their blood. They will put it into the cup. Maybe there will be wine in the cup. And this person will drink. Me too will also drink. That is, they cut the covenant with each other. So there was no covenants that were made back then without blood. The Bible tells us something, that the life of the animal is in the blood. And I believe that strongly. Because if any doctor is going to see what is happening to you, doctor, what do you order for? Blood tests. Abby? Sister Kemi? Blood tests. Mamali? Is it blood test, Abby? Nurse in practice? Know that now. So it is blood tests. Because from the blood tests, they will know what is happening to your PSA, your sugar, your hemoglobin, everything about your life, they read it in your blood. So the life of the animal is in the blood. Once the blood stops flowing, the person is. So every covenant that is caught with the life of those who are pledging the covenant one to another. Now, remember I said that in the Old Testament times, the two people would walk between those carcasses that have been laid. But in what we just read, who walked between the carcass? How do we know it's God? Sorry? Abraham fell asleep. Can a sleeping man walk? No. Abraham fell asleep. But we know that something or somebody, because there was a smoking god and a burning flame that walked between those carcasses. But Abraham was asleep. So we know that only God would have walked within that covenant. But normally it takes two people to make a covenant. Do you know what that signified, my brothers and sisters? Because, now, okay, first of all, we said that when two people make the covenant, what do they do when they are walking? They recite, because they are swearing. What they are doing is they are swearing. They are saying that most people, the only people greater than them is God. They will say, I swear by God in heaven that if I break this covenant with you, as it happened to this animal, let it happen to me. Who swore in the making of the covenant with Abraham? How do we know God swore? Thank you. Let's go to it. Where? Let's go to Hebrews. Ah, the Bible is complete. Hebrews 6:13. Because we didn't read here that God swore. But later on, in another place, we read in the Bible what happened. Please, can you get the Sister Kemi? Let's hurry it. Hebrews 6:13.
For example, there was God's promise to Abraham.
God's promise to Abraham. Uh-huh.
Since there was no one greater to swear by,
yes,
God took an oath in his own name,
okay,
saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abram waited patiently, and he received what God had promised.
Thank you. What was Abraham's question to God when God appeared to him in chapter 15 that we just read? God, how will I? Thank you. What Sister Success said is a very important question. God, you have promised me all these things, but how will I know that what you have said, you will fulfill it, you will perform it? And that is what led to the ratification of the covenant that was made in chapter 12 with blood. God was saying that, I swear to you, Abraham, because there's no, if man will swear by God, who will God swear by? There's no other thing, anybody greater. So God swore by himself that, Abraham, what I have said, I will do. And there Abraham believed God. He believed what God said. That is what we call the Abrahamic covenant. Normally, it takes two parties to cut a covenant. But God was saying here, Abraham, I will perform it. And if I break this covenant, this is not what God said in the Bible, but I'm just looking at the practices of the people at that time. If I break the covenant, so what happened to this animal, so be it with me. Abraham, if you break the covenant, as happened with these animals, so be it with you. But did Abraham walk the path? So how can he be with him if he broke the covenant? First of all, when people make covenants, there are two parties to the covenant, right? Okay? What was Abraham's obligation in this covenant? Eh? Believe. Where did he say just to believe? No, you didn't get my question. You didn't get my question. God said, Abraham, I will do so, 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 and so for you. In a covenant, you would say, I will do so, 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 and so in this covenant. So God, I will bless you. I will make your name great. What was Abraham's own part of the covenant? Where did this obey? It was, that is it. It was, there was nothing. There was nothing. There was nothing Abraham had to do. God held himself to a covenant with Abraham. That is what I call the covenant of grace. Because there was nothing Abraham. Let me compare it to another covenant. Let's go quickly. I'll show you something else. Let's open to Exodus chapter 19. Sister Kemi, please read Exodus 19 from verse 1.
Exactly 2 months after the Israelites left Egypt, they arrived in the wilderness of Sinai.
So the children, this time, children had been born from Abraham. He had one child. That Eliezer of Damascus, he wasn't the one God wanted. So God gave Abraham another child. When Abraham was how old?
100.
Eh? Abraham was? 100. And how old was his wife?
90.
Eh?
90. Okay.
So, Grandma Ned is turning 85. Oh. So, just try to imagine Grandma Ned giving. Grandma Ned, it's not impossible, though. Even with God, God can do it. So, the wife of Abraham was 90. Our God is a God of that which is impossible, Him making it possible. What was impossible, You make possible. That is the majesty of our King. So, Abraham's wife was older than Grandma Ned the time she gave birth. She gave birth to this child called Isaac. Isaac gave birth to twins called Esau and Jacob. Jacob was later, his name was changed to Israel. And this Jacob now had 12 sons. And those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. And they multiplied and multiplied. They became a great nation. And what God told Abraham in that dream, that for 400 years, your children will be slaves in Egypt, it did happen. It happened. And after they were slaves in Egypt, after 400 years, God visited them again. We are the ones who don't have time. God has time. After 400 years, God visited them again and brought them out of slavery, out of Egypt. And God was now meeting with them 20 days. 20 days after they left Egypt. Please go on. What did God now say?
Exactly 2 months.
2 months, sorry, not 20 days. 2 months, my mistake.
Then Moses climbed the mountain to appear before God. The Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "Give these instructions to the family of Jacob. Announce it to the descendants of Israel. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians. You know how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth. For the earth, all the earth, belongs to me. And you will be my kingdom of priests, my holy nation. This is the message you must give to the people of Israel." So Moses returned from the mountain and called together the elders of the people and told them everything the Lord had commanded him. And all the people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has commanded."
Thank you. You can stop there. So God told them that this is the part I will do. So in this transaction between God and the people, children of Jacob, what was their own part? It was specifically said there, obey. Obey. If you obey, all these things that I have said, I will do them for you. But if you disobey, and this little thing of obedience or not obedience, as we go on in this Exodus, we won't read it today. It was now expanded. If you do these things, These blessings I will bless you with. If you don't do them, I will curse you with these curses. And this became known as the Mosaic Covenant. In the next chapter, chapter 20, it started with what we call the Ten Commandments. You will have no other God before me. You will not take my name in vain. So God specified everything. And all they were to do was be obedient. I call this the covenant of works, because they had to do something to inherit that covenant. What did Moses have to do? What did Abraham have to do? There was no specification that Abraham do this. It was a one-sided covenant. God said, I will do this on your behalf. So do we see the difference between those covenants? On one part, you had to do this, you had to do this. In the first part, God took everything upon himself. Now, please, can you open to Jeremiah 31? 31. Jeremiah 31, 31. I'll read it from 31 to 33, please. Yeah.
The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah.
Please wait 1 second. For there to be something new, there have to have been something old. The old covenant, in the context of I will do something new, is that Mosaic covenant that God made with the children of Israel. Now, let me give you something for us to also understand. You see, God made the covenant with the children of Israel, intending the children of Israel to be the ones that will bless the whole earth, to be the one that will show the light and the glory of God to all nations, to be the one that will be doing the evangelism, to knowing that this God that we serve is the real God. But the children of Israel, they did not obey what God had told them to do. And so here, God is telling one of the prophets that the day will come. A day will come. I will now make a new covenant, because this Mosaic covenant, this covenant that I wrote with my own hand on stone, these people, they broke it. If you read the Psalms, it will talk about how with the hardness of their hearts, you know, you could even see it where they said they should go and spy the land. Some who came back saying, all this land is full of giants. They will devour us. Some say, we want to go back to Egypt to eat fine things in Egypt. I don't know where slaves eat fine things, you know, to eat beautiful things in Egypt. So their hearts were hard over and over again. They disbelieved God. They disobeyed God. And so here in Jeremiah, God is saying that, behold, please go on, the day will come.
The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already.
Okay, can you stop there? So this is another covenant that God is making. With whom? With the children of Israel. Thank you. God said, I will do this, I will do this, I will do this. What were the children of Israel supposed to do? Eh? Where did he say their obedience here? In this new covenant, so. Eh? He says to, they were to believe. Where did he say to believe? It means, boy, okay, you are right in a way. But let me tell you something. Let's start with just the covenant. The covenant was, I will do this. It's called a covenant of grace because nothing was demanded of the recipient of the covenant. Now, we said all they needed to do was to believe. But do we know that that believing in what God has said is even a gift of God that God gives to the recipient of the covenant? The faith you have to believe God is not from within you to say, I will have faith. It is God giving you the gift of faith to believe what he has said. So Abraham believed. Yes, Abraham believed. And it was counted to him for righteousness. But that belief of Abraham was the gift that God gave Abraham to be able to believe that what I have said I will do, I will do. Open to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. So what does it say there?
God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this.
You can't take credit for this. Uh-huh.
It is a gift from God.
What is the gift from God?
Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Do you want another version?
Another version, yes.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
For by grace? Are you saved?
Through faith.
For it is by grace you have been... I'd like this version.
For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves.
What is not from yourself? What is not from yourself? Eh? The faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this
is not,
that is the faith that you've had in God, is not from yourself. The faith itself is a gift from God, just like the salvation is the gift from God. So everything that accompanies salvation, you have not done anything. You have not done anything. That is why when we say somebody is saved, truly saved, there is something that accompanies salvation that makes you know that the life of that person has been changed because God has done something in the life of that person. You cannot say that I am saved and yet you are still continuing in your old ways. We cannot see any difference. It is not possible because if you say you are saved, what has God done? If I say I'm saved, yet I still steal. I lie. And I say, I'm saved. Then what did God do? If I say I'm saved and I'm thankless, there's nothing within me to say, ah, God, what you have done in my life, please, what can I do differently? There's anybody that is saved, something has to happen in their lives that is different. Because everything is the gift of God. The gift of God to believe. The gift of God to now walk with God in the newness of the life that God has given you. The gift of God to walk and not sin. Because you cannot say that you are saved and continue in the old ways. Salvation, faith, the power. Paul said that we are no longer under what? The law. We are under grace. Just like that Abrahamic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham believed God by faith. This covenant that God has made with us, that he no longer would he write his law on stone. He will put the law within our hearts. The faith to believe in what God has done, he himself will give us. That truly we will become new people. We will not continue in our old ways. If it is natural for somebody who doesn't know God to lie, it is as natural as breathing. I can tell you that because I was there myself. It is natural. It is natural for somebody who doesn't know God to take something there that is not theirs, and there'll be no pang in their hearts. It is natural for a man that doesn't know God to have wives and concubines and orishirish. What do they say it in English? It is natural because that is their nature. It's called the old nature. But if you say, I am born again, that is, God has done something in my heart, and yet that old nature is what people still see. What happened? What did God do? Abraham, he believed God. And that belief in God was counted to him as righteousness. If God has done something in your life, what is different? What did God do? This is the new covenant, my brothers and sisters. The old covenant was ratified by cutting an animal, laying the animal, and God, through what he swore by himself, what I've said I will do, I will do. Do you know that the new covenant also has a cutting? Not a cutting that's open. Because covenants, in the Aramaic word for covenants, how they said it was to cut a covenant. There was when a covenant was made, something had to be cut. An animal was cut. Brothers and sisters, the new covenant also has a cutting. The Luke 22 that we read this morning, can we open to it one more time? Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let me just say it plain.
Okay.
So what would be the point if it's that it's a gift of God? So are we saying those who do not believe don't have that?
Very good question. What would be the point of us going to evangelize? Did you hear that?
So they have to hear and then the faith.
Yes. When I am going to fish, I don't know which fish I'm going to catch. But without me setting out my line, would I catch any fish? Even though there are people that God is going to work within their hearts, God still expects us to do his work on earth. Because as Jesus sent out the 70, he sent out his disciples. He said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. That is our call now. That what God wants to do, what the children of Israel were supposed to do, that they didn't do, God is now calling, through this new covenant, God is making a new people unto himself. This new people is now made of children of Israel who believe in God, and those who are not natural Israelites who believe in God. So those people who are not natural Israelites are called Gentiles. So they're Jews and Gentiles. So what God is now doing is that he's now making of the Jews believing, Jews and Gentiles, one people. that will fulfill what God's intention was. And what God's intention was with Israel was to make them a nation of priests and kings. Because of their unbelief, they became a nation with priests and kings. And God is now doing it again, that in these last days, these people, made up of Jews and Gentiles, believing Jews and Gentiles, will now become the priests and kings, where he says that I will make unto myself a people, a holy nation, a peculiar people who are called by my name. These are the people going to do this work that I am calling them to. So as you preach the word, God is able to give the gifts to whomever he so wills. But without, how will they know when nobody preaches? That is why it's important for us to do it. Yes. John 3:16. Let's read it. For God so loved the world. Okay. So what is the covenant there? If you believe in him, okay?
Don't believe in him, you don't have everlasting life.
Okay. So that is a covenant of works, right?
No, the covenant of grace.
No, it's works.
Okay, believe. You just believe, you didn't work.
It's work, because okay. You have to do something. You have to do something. It's a covenant of work. It's not work. Because, yeah.
17.
Yes.
It's still that covenant of grace that's being spoken of in a different way.
Okay.
I'll read verse 17.
Yes. Ah! There are Bible believers here today.
So there is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son.
Okay.
So, okay, I like that version. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, please. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
So I still maintain it.
So
that
this is
believing him.
But it, even in, okay, if I go to
is
Romans.
Is it in yourself?
No, it's still God's gift. Because Cornelius, Peter had to go and preach. Cornelius was a person who did good works.
Mm-hmm.
And his good works ascended as a memorial to God. And God sent an angel to tell him, call for Peter. Peter is going to tell you the way to eternal life. And when Cornelius and his friends and family here gathered, as they listened to Peter preaching, that the gift of God came upon them. And
say that again.
The gift of God,
as they
listened to Peter preaching.
So what did they do before that gift of God came?
So it's still the gift. They were listening.
Mm-hmm.
And they received it by faith. Because later, when Peter was challenged by the disciples that you went to go and be among Gentiles.
Yes.
And he talked about that they received that gift of grace. They received it just like we did.
And open to Romans 4. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 4. Shall I just hold it up? Yes. So read.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
Let's go on.
Abraham was.
We'll be ending sooner. Okay.
Abraham was, humanly speaking, the founder of our Jewish nation.
Yes.
What did he discover about being made right with God?
Okay. Abraham was made right with God. Okay, go on.
If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God, he would have had something to boast about.
If his what?
Good deeds.
If his
good deeds.
Good deeds. Like what is a good deed?
Giving alms.
Okay. Is obedience to God a good deed? Is faith in God a good deed? Faith in God is not a good deed.
It's not something you're doing.
No, it is something you're doing.
So I believe that faith is a gift of God.
That's it. But okay, let's go on. So if the good deeds were able to make him acceptable before God, please, let's go on.
If his good deeds had made him acceptable to God,
yeah,
he would have had something to boast about.
Yes.
But that was not God's way.
Yes.
For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith.
And we know that that belief wasn't even from Abraham himself. So it wasn't that God will say, if you do this, your part is to believe me, I will do this. Because, yes, we believe God, but we believe God after God has done something in our hearts, not before. That is what I'm trying to make us understand. Because a covenant is caught with somebody, the covenants that were caught that we've read about, it was while these people had nothing, while they were nothing. So this new covenant that we are talking about, God said, I will write my law upon their hearts. Yes, they have to believe me. But that believing is when God has done something. First of all, God will do something. He will write his laws upon their hearts of an unbeliever. There was a time Sister Success did not know God. Did not believe God. She had the gospel. And God did something within her heart that made her believe. But before she believed, what parts could she play? Could she obey? No. That is why it is called a covenant of grace. What were the children of Israel given to be able to obey? They were given the law, but were they given anything else to say, this obedience is, who was going to obey? Was it God going to give them the gift of obedience? No, they were supposed to obey out of their own self. And God showed them that through the law, nobody can be made righteous before God, because you cannot obey God's law by yourself. You can't. It's not possible. God has to do something within you for you to be able to obey the law of God. And this is the whole essence of grace. Because when God has done that thing, the evidence that God has done something within your hearts is that now you are obedient to God. Now your way has changed. But everything, God has been the one doing it. This is what we call the covenant of grace. Abraham, if he was able to please God, if he was able to do right, yeah, he has nothing. He will boast that, yes, I did it. But that gift of faith was a gift of God, just like to every one of us. The gift of faith is a gift from God. We believe God because God has given us the enablement to believe him. Now, that covenant, new covenant, had to be cut. So going back to John 3:16, yes, is the ratification of the new covenant as he talked about, that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And that giving, at the end, Jesus Christ said in Luke 22, please read from verse 19. Because a covenant has to be cut with what? With blood. My brother, even in Africa, covenants are cut with blood. They will take chicken. They will take it to the shrine of whomever. What do they do to the chicken? They cut the head. They take the blood. Spill it. Right from the beginning of time, covenants have always been done with blood. Some people will go to the river. They say, oh, this river goddess, protect our nation. We give you your food. Take a dove, white dove. They cut the head, put it on the shrine. They are copying what God has already done right from the beginning. Because in verse 19, Jesus now, he rose up when they were having that feast. He said,
he took some bread.
He took bread.
And gave thanks to God for it.
Mm-hmm.
Then he broke it in pieces.
He broke the bread. Because what he was talking about, so that bread that he broke was figurative of something that was going to take place a few days later. Sorry? A few hours later. That his body was going to be lashed and broken. His body was going to be broken. Just as the animals were broken in the covenant with Abraham, the body of this man that the Father gave his only begotten son was going to be broken. And then after he took bread, gave thanks, what did he do next?
He broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body
that was
which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people.
This cup is the what?
New covenant.
This cup is the
new covenant.
Do we know what the new covenant is now, brothers and sisters? This cup is the new, that is the covenant that God has made with us. It's a covenant of grace. We sinned. And God has said right from the covenant he made with Adam in the beginning, there was a covenant called the Adamic covenant. That Adam, the day you eat out of this tree that I have told you not to eat of, you will do what? You will die. That was the first covenant. The day you eat out of this, and what happened? Adam broke it. Did he die immediately? No, he did not. And this new covenant that Jesus has been the mediation or the sacrifice of that covenant, because something has to be cut. Jesus' body was broken. His blood was now given. Just like the blood of the animals had to be spilled. His blood was spilled. And he says, this cup is the cup of the new covenant. Please go on.
This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you.
Which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. This is a covenant of grace. Because nowhere did the Son say that This is the part you will play in this covenant, and this is the part I will play. Just as in the time of Adam, that God swore by himself, Jesus took our own sins upon himself. Brothers and sisters, listen. There are two parties to a covenant. The person that breaks the covenant, person must die. We broke the covenant. But Jesus died. We broke the covenant with God. But Jesus died. And he said, as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of him. Because a day will come where everything he has promised us, just like he's told Abraham, I will do it. Jesus said that he will take away our sins and remember them no more. His blood being spilled says he will do it. Jesus said that I go to prepare a place that where I am, there you may be also. Brothers and sisters, he shed his blood saying that I will do it. Every promise that he has made, that blood reminds us that what he has said he will do, he will do. He will do. That is a covenant. And that is why it really pains me when in churches today, we want to turn the covenant that God has made with us into a contract. That this covenant of grace, we say, if you give your seed offering, God will do his own parts. If you do this, God will do his own parts. Brothers and sisters, that is a contract. Because a contract is made out of distrust. A covenant is made out of love. What did God have to gain with making a covenant with man? Nothing. Nothing. He had nothing to gain from us. All he had was his love for humanity, his love for mankind. And he's giving us this gift that when we hear and believe, we have been given the gift of faith to believe. And those whom he has worked within their hearts, they can't remain the same. They can't. God cannot do something in your heart, and you still, I don't know how to say it. You know, they said, if you've ever raised pigs before, no matter how clean a pig is, I've raised pigs before. Pigs, they don't sweat because they don't have glands. They have fat. So for them to cool down, they have to wallow inside mud. No matter how clean you have cleaned a pig, no matter what necklace or earring you have given the pig, it will go back into the mud. It will go back into the mud. That is the nature, old nature. You cannot be born again. God haven't done something in your heart, and you are still wallowing in the mud and say, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. God has done something in my life. What changed? So brothers and sisters, every time we partake of the communion, let us remember what Jesus did. Let us remember his body that was broken. Just like those animals that in the time of Abraham were broken. The blood that was spilled. That what God has said he will do, he will do it. Because that is God swearing by himself. That this promise I have made to you, this oath I have made with you, this covenant I have made with you, in which I am not demanding anything of you. The gift to believe, I will even give you that gift. God has done it all. And is now saying that what I have said I will do, I will do it. Believe it. And there, when we've been given the gifts, we better treasure that gift, my brothers and sisters. Because some people, they've been given the gifts and they take it. You know how Esau was given a gift of being the firstborn. What did he do to that gift? He tembeled. What's tembele in English, please? He treated it with contempt, with levity. Doesn't mean anything. We cannot treat the gift we have been given by God with levity, because some people don't have it. We cannot treat it with levity. We cannot treat God with levity. When we have been given the gift of faith, let us hold on to it. It's precious. Because the death of Christ on the cross wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. So we shall partake of the blood and the bread, the body of the new covenant this morning. And as we partake, I hope what we have learned today makes more sense. It makes more sense that when we are doing this, we don't do it with levity. We don't do it chewing gum. We don't do it, you know, just as anything we do. It costs our God something. So let us do it with reverence. God, thank you. Yes. Yepere, thank you. Thank you. Yepere, it's levity. And God, we thank you for what you did on the cross of Calvary. That we were the ones, through our forebearers, through our fathers, through the seed of Adam, we broke the covenant with you. And because we are born of man, we inherited that sin nature. Lord Jesus, you are the gift that was given, that through your body that was broken and your blood that was spilled, we have been brought near unto God. We have been given a name. We have been clothed with his righteousness. We have been given promises of eternity. Jesus, as we partake of this sacrament today, we remember the death that you died on the cross on our behalf. We remember and we give thanks. We take the bread. Signifying your body that was broken on the cross. And giving thanks, O Lord. Through your body that was broken, we have life. And we also take the cup, which signifies the new covenant. This cup that carried the significance of your blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And through your blood that was shed, our sins have been washed away. You said you will remember it no more. What you have said, you will do. and we give thanks. You also said that you will not partake of this fruit of the vine until the day you partake with us in your own kingdom. Please keep us until that kingdom, O Lord. Thank you for that which you did. In partaking, we eat and drink life, the life of God unto ourselves. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's wait one after the other till everybody's served before we partake. Let us all partake. Will the technical team please bring up that song that says, at the cross where I first saw the Lord. Can't find it? How does the first few verses go? Let's see. Okay. Are the verses there also? Okay. Can we all stand as we sing this song? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Alas, indeed, my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die. Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away? It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. The body slain, sweet Jesus thine, and bathed in its own blood, while thou from mark of wrath divine his soul in anguish stood at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut its glories in, when God the mighty maker died for his own creature's sin. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of tears can't ne'er repay the depth of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord.